Hi, and welcome to this edition of the Channel Vision podcast. This is Channel Vision editor Gerald Baldino here, and today we're excited to have Mark Belliger with us. Mark is a systems engineer at Barracuda. Mark, welcome to the program. Wondering if you could start by telling us a little bit about your background and your role at Barracuda.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. So yes, I'm a systems engineer at Barracuda. I'm actually working in the MSP division, so the managed service providers. And really, we're focusing on providing security and data protection solutions to those managed service providers that they can in turn help their customers become successful and remain secure and keep all of their data protected. I've been in the industry for over 10 years. I've been with a couple of different security manufacturers. And really, I'm working now almost exclusively with the sales team, trying to educate our MSPs about different types of technology, about how they can better protect themselves and their customers.
Excellent, excellent. Mark, based on your industry knowledge, what are some of the cyber threats that you're seeing right now heading into 2021?
Yeah, great question. All sorts of stuff is kind of the broad answer, but Barracuda's actually done quite a bit of research, and we're seeing a lot of focus on email, really a sharp rise in domain impersonation attacks. So Barracuda analyzed about 500,000 monthly email attacks, and we've seen over a 400% increase in domain impersonation attacks used for things like conversation hijacking. Additionally, brand impersonation is also used in almost 50% of all spear phishing attacks. So like I said, email is by far the number one attack surface. Business email compromise really causing the most damage, those attackers getting credentials and then doing malicious things with them, if it's stealing information or if it's getting credentials or wire transfers, all sorts of nasty things that they can do once they have those credentials. So the Internet Crime Complaint Center, or IC3, received almost 500,000 complaints last year. So it boils down to about 1,300 a day. And phishing was responsible for 93% of those complaints about the email breaches. So just an overabundance of types of email attacks. So you really want to have that as kind of top of mind. There's plenty of other ways to have things compromised, of course, but recently it's really been email. So some of the things we've actually seen in the news that might be surprising to some people is a lot of state-sponsored attacks, governments being targeted as well. So as recently as September, we know the Norwegian parliament actually announced that they had been the target of a significant cyber attack, breached some email accounts, and compromised some of Norway's Labour Party in those emails. And then quite a few actually happened in August. Attackers attacking on behalf of what we think was the Iranian government were found to have been working to gain access to sensitive information held by North American and Israeli entities across a wide range of sectors. So technology, government, of course, defense, and even healthcare. New Zealand, the stock exchange, actually had some disruptions due to a denial of service attack. We've seen the North Korean government have hackers operating campaigns focused on stealing money from ATMs around the world. And some Pakistani hackers have developed custom malware to steal files from victims in 27 countries now, and that number is still growing, prominently India and Afghanistan. And then going back a little bit further to June, North Korea again really tried to capitalize on the COVID-19 themed phishing emails. They sent them more than 5 million businesses all around the world, the US included and the UK as well. Again, just trying to steal personal and financial data. And then Australia actually announced that they were also the victim of a large cybersecurity attack. So what I'm pointing out here is no one's immune. These are the largest organizations in the world, governments of whole nations being targeted for these types of attacks. And then on the other side of that coin, we're seeing state-sponsored attacks. So it's no longer it evolved from maybe it was a guy in his basement in college thinking, hey, this might be cool, see if I can get in there, to, hey, a group of people realizing that they could use this for financial gain. And now it's become from a crime syndicate all the way up to a full state-sponsored operation. So it's just growing quite a bit, and it's really scary, honestly. And so you really want to be aware of this and be sure you can protect yourself.
So, Mark, from what I'm gathering here, there's a lot facing businesses today. The cybercrime landscape is really changing very quickly. What are some of the challenges that businesses are facing in trying to stay safe?
Yeah, great question again. And it's a very, very hot topic. I think kind of top of mind for pretty much every business out there, especially dealing with the pandemic, was the remote workforce. So all of a sudden, everyone was transplanted to a new work environment. They were distracted. Cyber criminals were aware of this, and they increased their types of attacks. So people might have traditionally been more wary about clicking on an email that said something that they weren't subscribed to or weren't necessarily concerned about. But once something said COVID on it, they really wanted that information. And so they would click on it and open a link that then might have some malware on it. And then the other things that I think a lot of businesses didn't really account for initially is that everyone had different home environments. And so there was lots of different distractions there, people trying to educate their kids or working in cramped spaces. Again, all this stress made people more vulnerable to these types of impersonation attacks and opening emails that they maybe shouldn't or clicking links that they maybe shouldn't just because they were stressed out and weren't in the right state of mind to kind of protect themselves. And kind of going in that same vein, so those challenges are the education of those end users. So you want to make sure that those users are savvy. When they're in the office, yeah, you've got kind of the keys to the kingdom in the sense that you're controlling the firewall and you're controlling the mail filter and you're controlling the connectivity to different links. When they're at home, that kind of opens up a little bit. So you want to make sure that those users are educated about being able to spot these phishing attacks and understanding what's malicious out there and what tactics an attacker might use to try to take advantage of them. And then as far as the last challenge, the idea of being future-proofed. So again, all the challenges of having that worker remote, there's always going to be newer attacks released, and they're constantly going to be involved. So when viruses and just basic attacks started out, kind of in the 90s, really all you needed would be an antivirus. It would be able to recognize, oh, this is a malicious file. It's doing something malicious. We can stop it. And it's on this one computer. And that's it. And we're good to go. We've stopped the threat. Now we're done. And now, because of the Internet of Things, all these different devices being connected at the same time, different locations, things moving to the cloud, really, really great for the spread of information, really, really challenging to make sure that that all stays secure. And so things like advanced threat protection is really something you want to take into consideration. So making sure that regardless of what this file is, if we don't recognize it from a security perspective, we don't just want to let it into the environment and figure out later that, oh, that was actually a brand new ransomware attack when all your information is now encrypted. So you want to make sure that that's diligent in ensuring that we understand the behavior of something before we let it onto the network. And so when I say future-proofing, hey, even 6 months they've evolved some other new attack, we're still not just going to let it in. We're going to do our diligence and make sure that's checked on. So quite a few things really coming up as far as those challenges for the businesses. And you just want to be sure that you're aware of them and then providing protection. Obviously, every customer is going to be different in their needs. I do have some examples, actually, of some large breaches and attacks that happened that companies unfortunately found out the hard way that they needed to pay a little more attention to stuff like this. So Magellan Health, I'm sure a lot of people heard about this one in 2020, but basically 365,000 patients had their information compromised in April. So really troublesome thing about this attack was that it was a fully planned process. So attackers didn't just have one step, hey, we're going to send an email out there and see what comes back and then we're done. Basically, they first installed malware to steal employee credentials. Then they used a phishing scheme to gain access to other systems. And then they used another phishing attack to impersonating the clients. And then they launched a ransomware attack. So they gathered all this information. They got all the credentials. They got all this valuable data. And then they encrypted it and launched a ransomware attack on top of it. So really, really scary how coordinated they've become as groups of attackers. And like I said, even state-sponsored. So they're getting funding from nations. Another interesting one, the Marriott data breach. So end of March in 2020, more than 5.2 million hotel guests who used the loyalty application had their information compromised. So they got login credentials and even accounts of the Marriott employees. And so a lot of that customer information was compromised. And then they used that information to then pull more data for over a month before that was even discovered. So there's a lot of, again, ambiguity there about what all that information was. Was that credit cards? Was that social security numbers? Was that addresses? And then what can those attackers use that information for? And so it just makes it really difficult to kind of follow all these different patterns of attacks that they're using and what kind of information they're getting and what they're doing with it. And the last one I'll hit on, and probably hits close to home for most people, is the Zoom credentials. So I'm pretty sure everyone has used Zoom at this point if you're working remotely. And obviously, yeah, due to the COVID pandemic, it's become much more critical to use. And so as it's being deployed more and more often, attackers are realizing the value of it. And so they're compromising people's credentials. They're putting them up for sale on black markets in the dark web. And they're doing things that are pretty nasty. So you might think, well, great, they got my Zoom credentials, so they can, you know, start a meeting and do a conference against their or with their colleagues and plot mischievous things. Like, yeah, you know, that's one thing they could do. But the real danger is that they can start getting into meetings that they shouldn't be in, and then recording data or inserting links into the chat that people can click on that are going to infect their device. And so there's really no limit to what they could do once they've compromised these devices. Maybe that's a keylogger. Maybe that's something that's going to steal their credentials for other logins. And so it's just going to spiral out to there. So really, really scary. And again, you want to make sure you're securing all of that environment.
Mark, right now, a lot of businesses are really in over their head trying to combat cybercrime, especially during the pandemic, as companies are dealing with staffing shortages and budget cuts. How are you advising these customers, and what are some of the best practices to cybersecurity right now that you're recommending?
Yep, absolutely. Again, great question. And I actually have this conversation all the time. And I would say the biggest one is to never assume. So IT security should really be a top priority for businesses of all sizes. So common misconception among especially SMBs or smaller organizations is that if they have an MSP partner, they're totally going to be covered from a security standpoint. And really, is the fact of it is the MSPs also have to have regular conversations with their customers around what security is happening, what that customer's business involves, and just to make sure that kind of all those bases are covered, make sure that they're upgrading different systems as appropriate, making sure that they're educating those customers about new types of attacks, new things that have been released into the threat landscape, and making sure that they're implementing the right solution for the customer as they grow or as they change how they do business, especially, again, you said, over their head in this pandemic, all these changes that have happened so rapidly. And the next thing, like I kind of alluded to with the never assume comment, is that, yes, it can happen to you. From a hacker's perspective, they don't care. So they would actually rather attack a bunch of smaller or medium-sized businesses than try to go capture, you know, that big fish, that Fortune 500 company. I mean, they're still going to try to do that. But if I can get 50 smaller companies with minimal security in place, I'm going to still get that same or even bigger payoff than going after a larger company. And it's probably going to be a lot easier for me. So from their perspective, they're just finding the low-hanging fruit. I often attribute it to a bicycle. So if I have a bicycle and I lock my bicycle on the sidewalk and there's another bicycle there that's not locked, if a thief walks by, they're just going to take the bicycle that's not locked because it's the easiest one to do. And so, yes, it's true. If someone really, really wanted my bicycle, they can go after it and try to break that lock. But the fact that I have that lock in place makes it more difficult for them, and they're not going to waste their time. And so you want to be sure that you're doing your diligence to protect yourself, protect your customers, and have that lock. So no solution is perfect, but you want to deploy a layered approach. And make sure that you're kind of covering all of the different facets and threat vectors. So if something does get compromised, you have data protection in place so you can recover from it. And so you have multiple ways of protecting against these types of attacks and things that attackers are going to try. And a little bit further into that, you know, the first step in doing that is determining where your weaknesses are. So, hey, are you doing good patch management on your servers? Has that antivirus been updated? Is your spam filter tuned properly? Making sure that your users are only using work protected devices to do work. So all these little things that you want to keep an eye on, but can vary from customer to customer, just to make sure that there's no vulnerabilities and kind of openings that an attacker could get in. And I mentioned it before, use that multi-layered security approach from device protection to gateway protection to email protection, making sure that you have partnerships with companies that can help you focus on those variety of types of attacks and kind of cover all your bases from all these different types of attacks. And again, customizing it for your customer, because every business is going to be a little bit different, but you want to keep that layered approach in place so that there's no kind of one weak link. There's a lot of overlap of protection. And then stay relevant, stay competitive, keep up with the latest types of attacks and threats, and going along with that, keep up with the latest technology that's going to be able to protect against that. And so you want to stay up to date with all of that. Barracuda provides our MSP partners with a bunch of easy to deploy, easy to manage multi-layered security solutions, as well as data protection services. So we're kind of all across the board here as a partner to help you make sure you can secure yourself and that entire environment for your customers. And then I mentioned it before, that future-proofing idea, that was more on the network side, you know, having those files get in, but also from the email side, we're seeing a shift from that kind of spam approach to I'm just going to send out as much spam or generic phishing email as I can, to what we call a targeted inbox attack. And this is really an attack where they're using social engineering to understand what an organization does, using say LinkedIn to figure out the organizational structure, using Facebook to figure out if an executive posted a picture of themselves at a conference, and then putting all this together to write an email that's really only text, but it's going to be convincing to whoever they're writing it to send those gift cards or to give up those credentials or to make that money transfer, because they're listing things that are relevant that are actually happening and make it sound more legitimate that it's coming from that executive. And so kind of that shift, you want to stay up to date on that and understand that things are out there from a security standpoint that use artificial intelligence to be able to learn that and recognize those types of attacks. And so you want to provide that protection as we see this shift going to that inbox type of attacks. And the last thing I'll leave you with is protect yourself. So eat your own dog food. Yes, you're protecting your customers, but a lot of times MSPs can be highly targeted because of their connections to all these different organizations. So if I'm an attacking group and I can compromise an MSP, now I have access and potential capability to see all of the customers that they're managing and then infiltrate them and their partners as well. So really, really critical that as an MSP, you understand the technology and you're using it to protect your own organization as well.
Mark, thanks for the great cybersecurity update here. It's been nice chatting with you. How can we learn more about Barracuda and get in touch with your team?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would say the easiest way is probably barracudamsp.com, but there's also local sales reps. You can give a call to Barracuda, and they'll be happy to have someone reach out to you. But I definitely appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
All right, Mark. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.